Welcome to On Tap with Corey and Ira, where they discuss Southern Minnesota breweries and beer. Here's your host, Corey Butler and Ira Carlson.
Hello, and welcome to episode number 46 of On Tap with Corey and Ira, your bi-weekly exploration of Southern Minnesota breweries and beer. I'm one half of your co-host, Corey Butler.
And I'm the other half, Ira Carlson.
And half makes one. But no half and half today, just beer. We're all beer today.
Nope, not even a cream ale in there to, do the little bit of that.
But. Although this, we got one beer in front of us that maybe a little half and half might go with it. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting one.
But I think it's just fine the way it is. But we'll get to that here in a minute. We've got a great show lined up today. Ira, why don't you tell the fine folks what's coming up today?
So we had a great visit with Brendan Ford of Turning Waters Back Alley Brewing Company out of Wabasha, Minnesota. So probably one you haven't heard of, but after you get done talking to him and hearing about him and stuff, and Corey and I have both been there, I think you'll find out that's actually well worth the visit down there because you're not going to find him in a liquor store. So it is well worth the visit.
Small operation. Still pretty new.
Yep.
No advertising, really. So, yeah. But that's why we're here.
Yeah. And after we had some of their beers, it was well worth the visit. So, anyways, we have them in. We also have, of course, a Style of the Week. We're talking a little white IPA with Andrew. And then, of course, we got the couple of the beers of the week brought to us today by Firehouse Liquor. And they're a little bit of a tongue twisters. The way you say them compared to the way they are written on the bottles and cans are a little bit different, but no, all in all,
we did some learning today.
Yeah, it's a fun show. We'll just say that.
It's always a fun show.
Of course it is.
Particularly today.
Yep.
This is the best show.
I think I had a lot of fun with the interview with Ford and Brenda, and I'm definitely looking to head down there and visit with them again.
I think you had a lot of fun too.
Yeah.
I was there. I saw it. We had a great time, so we appreciate them stopping in. You definitely should stick around, listen to that conversation. Here on KYMN Radio, 1080 AM out of Northfield, Minnesota, 95.1, you will hear most of that interview and most of today's show. But per usual for what we do, our show goes a little bit longer than our hour block we're allotted here on KYMN Radio. So a good place to listen to the full episode is on our website at ontapnorfield.com or on podcast platforms like iTunes, Google Play, Player FM. Usually they go hour 20, hour and a half, so... The website's also a good place to catch all our prior shows, not just the most recent show. So this is number 46. If you can do your quick math, minus one, as we're teaching our three-year-old right now, that means 45 other shows that we've done. So we've got plenty to come as well. And a good place to see what is coming up is on our Facebook page. Search for On Tap Northfield or just go to facebook.com/OnTapNorfield. You can see all our upcoming shows. We're booked out here through, I think I've got, through January, but I've got guests through February planned right now. We just we put them in when we get to them. You know, don't want to go too far out. But a lot of good shows we've talked about on at least a previous episode. We are bringing back the Corey and Ira Excellent Adventure Winter Warmer Series. For those who followed us last year, we took a Southwest Minnesota tour, knocked out four breweries in one day, had a designated driver with us, did four interviews that aired over the winter months because... as we experienced this past Sunday, it can snow whenever it wants to snow between, October and March. So sometimes can put a wrinkle in our plan. So we want to try to mitigate those issues and took in our own hands and did a day-long adventure. And we're doing that again this year. We're going up to Duluth, one of our favorite cities, one of probably most people in the States, their favorite city. Knocking out four interviews there, and that will air over the winter. So if you want to see who we have coming up this winter over January, February, Facebook, good place to go check that out. We're also on Twitter and Instagram. Again, On Tap Northfield's a good place to look for us on there. You should find our account pretty quickly, I think. And we've got photos, videos, and all sorts of information that we post occasionally about places we visit, things we're doing. And we've got a great show coming up. Stick around.
And now time for Beers of the Week, brought to us this week by Firehouse Liquor of Dundas. Our first offering today is coming out of Cigar City Brewing out of Tampa, Florida. Kind of seeing a big rise in their beers, in, at least in our area or our market. It's their White Oak Hi-Li India Pale Ale. As they describe it, a uniquely oak-aged IPA marries the tropical profile of Hi-Li IPA with notes of coconut and vanilla contributed by white oak. Rustic wood notes abound, adding further dimension to our citrusy India Pale Ale. So this was an interesting one. I mean, it's definitely citrusy, not overly done. I definitely get the vanilla in there, maybe a little bit of the coconut. It's interesting. You know, they talk a lot about the white oak. They actually rest it in there. Kind of gives it a little bit of woodsiness. I don't know if this is maybe my favorite, but at the same time, I think it might because of the fact that this feels a little more summery, and the weather's obviously changing a little bit. So I'm kind of like my palate's changing more to the heavier, bigger, maybe not heavier is the right word, but bolder, bigger flavors and stuff. But not too bad of a beer. I mean, I can definitely see reaching out to them again.
Yeah, both beers we're going to profile today have a wide cast of ingredients used, so it's interesting what people are able to pull from that. You're talking about getting some coconut, a little bit of coconut, a little bit of vanilla. I'm getting none of that. I'm definitely getting plenty of wood out of it and a little bit of that bitterness. And the citrus is coming through, but I'm not really getting much from the coconut nor the vanilla. So that could just be a difference in palates. Could be, you know, what we ate for dinner tonight. That might have been the effect of what we're getting here. I'm with you. I mean, this is a fine beer. It's not something I'm going to reach for, and it could be timing. This one's a few months old now, so maybe I'm not sure if it's a seasonal or year-round. But Cigar City, obviously very well-known, expand their footprint throughout the country, and definitely a brewery to look out for and pick up their beer. And in part two of our tongue twister hour here, we've got Stone's Choco Vesa. It's their Imperial Stout inspired by Mexican hot chocolate. So kind of alluded to this here just a minute ago. This is another beer with a lot going on in it. It says it's got a flavor profile that's evocative of Mexican hot chocolate. It features coffee, pasilla peppers, or pasilla peppers probably, vanilla, cinnamon, nutmeg, and a generous amount of our own in-house made chocolate. So I've actually had this one before, maybe 2 years ago. I bought a can, and I enjoyed it, and I'm glad that I get another chance to try it. You know, the coffee definitely comes through. You get a little bit of that pepper on the back end. Pretty subtle, though. Nothing that's too overwhelming. Nice chocolate notes. When you hear about all these things kind of thrown in, and you just don't know what's going to come of it, this is a nicely blended beer. Nice body to it. Nice color. Great aroma. You know, I don't get so much of the cinnamon or nutmeg, but again, different palates are going to draw out different things.
Well, they even list on here, enjoy fresh or age at cellar temp. And I think this is because of all the extra flavors and everything. I think just a little bit more warmer of a temp. I think some of that nutmeg and other flavors might come through a little bit on it. But
yeah, the hops back off
a little bit. Yeah, kind of like, you know, get a little extra flavor to it. And yeah, this is a really tasty beer. I wasn't expecting it the way it, you know, it comes through. But the chocolate's there, very nice, subtle, not too overpowered, doesn't linger. Really solid beer. If you want to try either of these beers or any of the other beers we've talked about on previous shows, they can be conveniently found south on Highway 3 in Dundas at Firehouse Liquor.
Look for the fire truck. All right, now we're catching up with Ford and Brenda from Turning Waters Back Alley Brewing, catching up at the Kay Wyman Radio Studios. How's it going, guys?
Great. How are you?
Doing well, Ford.
We're good.
Yeah, we got beer number one in front of us. We'll probably head into that pretty quick here to talk about that because you brought a few different options. We'll make sure we find time, and we will, to discuss all of those. But appreciate you taking the drive over. You guys came over from home base. I want to let people know where Turning Waters is.
Wabasha, Minnesota.
Okay, for those who aren't aware of Wabasha, that's an hour plus from here. About an hour.
Down on the Mississippi. Where the National Eagle Center is. Everyone knows the National Eagle Center.
There you go. So just a short jaunt from Red Wing, not too far.
Correct.
For those who know where Red Wing is, but maybe not all the small towns between Red Wing and Winona. So thanks for coming over. You guys have one of the smaller, definitely, breweries in the state. Maybe let's work from the beginning. Why Wabasha? Because location's always fun. Why people are located where they're at.
I'd let Ford talk, but it's my hometown. I grew up in Kellogg.
We'll get him in there. Don't worry. So Kellogg, another small town, just down the road.
Where right? Lark Toys is.
There you go. And people, if they've taken the River Drive, would know the toy area.
They would.
And that's a small way to explain it because it's not small. It's big. It's noticeable from the road.
Yes. So grew up in Wabasha, went to school in Winona, University of Northern Iowa, and then headed to Florida. So after 20 years of South Florida, Ford said, let's open a brewery and let's move to Wabasha. And I told him to get a job and learn how to brew. But we moved to Wabasha.
Moved to Wabasha. But something else brought you to Wabasha first, right?
Well, family.
Family.
Yeah. All my family lives there.
So the business that you started there before the brewery wasn't what initially drew you there? That was another opportunity?
Well, that was there. Mm-hmm. So the Turning Waters Bed and Breakfast and Adventure was there.
Okay.
And it was available. And somebody got it before us. That's okay.
Mm.
Gave us time to learn how to brew. And we took it over when they were ready to expand their business in the kayaking field. Broken Paddle Guiding. So, yeah, we have a lot of great businesses in our area.
So you guys operate the bed and breakfast now, and then the brewery is an extension of that in the back alley, as it were, right?
Yeah, well, we saw the opportunity with the bed and breakfast, and there was space that I saw a vision for a very small brewery. And having been in the industry, I've seen some very interesting spaces. And I thought that the space in the back of the bed and breakfast very much lent itself to a very interesting, small, niche brewery-type space.
I don't often use the word unique because I think it's overused, but I think in this case, having been to your space, it is quite unique. You want to explain a little bit what makes it so unique?
Well, I had actually, I've seen a space. I don't recall the name of it, but there's a space in Maryland. The individual managed to get himself licensed as a small one-car garage.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't actually turn a profit, but he makes some very unusual beers. And looking at our three-car garage when we initially purchased the space, I kind of envisioned the same thing and just saw an opportunity to stick in a very interesting niche brewery market type, just really specialty beer small brewery.
So not quite a one car garage, but a three car garage just across the alleyway from the bed and breakfast. Three car garage, right?
Brewery.
Yeah, one space is a brewery and the other two are for patrons in the bathrooms, right?
That's correct. There was no way we were ever going to use it as a three car garage. It was holding stuff. It was a hoarder's paradise. So we kind of just figured out that it would be much better suited to turn it into something, and a brewery was the best avenue for us.
So before you guys went to the full-fledged brewery, you got to kind of do a test run, right? You kind of made it into a bar that people can come and enjoy quite the tap list. I went there last year about this time, I think, maybe a little bit later in the year, but I was quite impressed with what you guys had on hand there. You guys were operating as a bar, right?
Well, we got a full liquor license. The idea was always to have other people's beer,
mm-hmm.
In addition to ours. We also wanted to be able to be open on Sundays, which required in Minnesota, which required a full liquor license, which required food. So we had pizza and ice cream. But it gives us the ability to have 12 taps of of beers that I would enjoy.
Sure.
And yes, additionally, the wine, the cider, because not everybody wants to drink beer.
There are some weird people out there. But no, there's reasons. And it's not to say that the other options aren't good. Time and place, though. But I'm going to often opt for the beer, especially what you guys are presenting. I remember going there, was making my trip down the river, had you guys on the map to stop. My buddy Joe and I stopped in, and I couldn't, and I had been following you on Facebook, so I would see the photos of what you guys had on tap list. I mean, you're talking big beers, Surly Darkness, Barrel Age 10, I think you had on there, or 1050. Just an obnoxious list of beers that you wouldn't expect in small town anywhere.
And he was because I couldn't go with. I had to catch up on some work that day, so I wasn't able to go with on that exact trip. So then he's texting me, telling me all the things you guys had on. He couldn't believe it all. And so I was living vicariously through it. So I was very excited when I finally got to make it down there about a month or so ago. So,
well, I feel like I didn't have to go home. Like, just permanent residence. Yeah.
Said it's more than a garage. Look at our tap list. It's
unexpected, right?
Right. And how did you get that beer, Barrel Age 1050?
Paid for it.
Yeah, we paid for it. We got it.
Mm-hmm.
We have an Oscar Blues tap takeover coming up in celebration of our 1 year anniversary on Drinksgiving. That would be Thanksgiving.
Mm.
And we wanted to add our beers to that list because not everybody, well, I have to take that back. Most people want our beer. So if we blow through all of our beer. We have good backup beer.
They can stand up if needed, right? Those backups, those barrel-aged beers and Surleys and such. But let's not undersell the space. I mean, yes, it is a garage, but you guys have done some beautiful work in there. You tie into the local history. And for those who don't know about Wabasha, there's a famous movie, two movies.
Grumpy Old Men and Grumpier Old Men.
Exactly. Unfortunately, we didn't get Grumpiest Old Men. Both our leads have passed, unfortunately. But I heard there was a rumored trilogy in works at one point.
I would love that.
And if they'd started early, I think a Burgess Meredith standalone could have just been perfect. Yes. But that's just me.
I think we got more years out of Burgess than anybody expected.
Oh, so. I know. But I think he stole the movie every time. So,
but nice woodwork. You guys have some homage in there to the history. It's a really cool space.
Well, and also a really pretty nice vinyl collection there. It was a little packed when I was in there to try to get over there, but I respect a nice, you know, bunch of records over there. Ford snuck out every so often to spin a record in the middle of the chaos that while I was there. So I really enjoy the space. When I came in, it was Saturday night, about, I don't know, 6 o'clock. Barely could stand anywhere, and two people or a whole table invited us over to join. And before you know it, we heard all about the wedding they're going to and who knew who and everything else. And you like immediately felt like part of the family and stuff. And so I really enjoyed the space. It was really, really a fun spot. Kind of felt almost ice fishing like, you know, mm-hmm. in the sense of, you know, just I that sounds a little weird, but you know, the idea of just come on in. It's hot. It's crazy. You know, you're rolling up the doors, closing them down, letting the heat and cold in and out. It was fun.
Got the fire outside. At least when I was there, you had the fire pit going. I'm guessing that's pretty common.
We have two propane fire pits down. Okay. No wood fire.
That was wood last year.
Yeah. We have the propane now. It's much safer, much cleaner. Mm-hmm. And our guests in the bed and breakfast can enjoy it without us having to be present.
Sure.
But, yeah, we pop open the garage doors, we close them down, we pop up a tent. We have a huge patio space that we added to make it easier for people to enjoy our backyard, basically. Bags and boards, giant Jenga, giant Connect Four.
Yeah, and to Ira's point, when you're in a two-stall garage, it's hard to be anonymous. I mean, you have to be welcoming, and you guys have built the infrastructure there, and I'm guessing just your regular lineup of folks who come in there are probably just the kind people who welcome people to Wabasha anyhow.
Yeah, we have a good following coming in from Rochester now, mm-hmm. and the boaters that come down in the summer are coming back, making a point as they're passing through, let's go see Ford and Brenda's. Someone actually made the comment.
They came last night.
I know. Someone actually made the comment. They don't say they're going to Turning Waters Back Alley Brewing Co. They're either going to Brenda's or Ford's Garage. Because in Florida, where this particular couple live, they go to Ford's Garage.
In Fort Myers.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's fun. I always say to watch for the flashing lights. To walk down the sidewalk that we had built between the two homes and look for the open sign. And sometimes it gets so busy, like yesterday. We opened at 4 o'clock, and we had 20 people, no lie, coming from three different directions. And the space was filled. And it pretty much stayed that way till 9:02 p.m. when we closed down.
And they do, to go back to that, they do come for the vinyl, too. We have found that the vinyl is becoming as much a part of the lore of our pub as the beer itself is.
So are people bringing their own or donating?
We have everything. Yes, we had our own large collection. We continue to collect it. We do have patrons that have told us they have vinyl under their bed, which they bring us. And we tell them we will trade beer for vinyl.
Oh, good.
Not a bad thing to have.
How much can I get for Thriller? How much can I get for Thriller?
Someone took our Thriller. So I've got a Thriller.
Someone stole our Thriller.
I've got the complete works of Elvis.
I have no idea, but the first one that popped in my head is Ingata de Vita. Oh, I just want to bring that down. I love Ingata de Vita. That would be awesome.
17 minutes later.
Oh, it's a great song. It's absolutely a great song.
We have it, but we could use a better version.
All right. I'll look for it.
Makes me think of the Simpsons version. They should put that on vinyl if they haven't. Well, Ford, you've got one beer in front of us. Why don't we talk about what
Well, we do. I wanted to bring you guys some of our more unusual offerings because I think we're becoming very well known for that. But I also wanted to bring you our standard base beer, which is our Chubby Chipmunk which is a pale wheat ale, which is kind of our answer to
Coors Light.
Coors Light, Bud Light. It's your quintessential lawnmower beer.
Yeah. What's your lightest beer?
Yep. It's something you could sit on a lawnmower and drink six of them and still have a pattern in your lawn.
Mm-hmm.
It is made it's a very simple, obviously, with pale malt, wheat malt, and a single hop. And it's just a light, easy drinking summer beer, but it can be drunk throughout the entire year.
No, I see myself putting back some of these during ice fishing here in a couple months.
Yeah, and, no, I like this one a lot. My issue with wheat beers a lot of times with craft breweries can be that they kind of just come off flat or just essentially trying to fit that just up fill of the lawnmower, give somebody a low, low ABV or what they expect. And I really do enjoy this. It's got some really nice flavor to it. Yet still light enough, like you talked about, the lawnmower beer will fit that spot of group of five comes in. There's that one person that needs something that they still feel comfortable with, and I think it fits that bill. But at the same time, yes, I can see sitting, drinking this ice fishing, lawnmowing, whatever it may be. This is really good beer.
Yeah, nice burst, and I like the wheat, too. I'm a wheat fan. So
I guess the one thing that I always love to add to that, to everybody that comes in looking for the lighter beer, is that this is, there's a lot more body and there's a maltier feel to it, but it remains a very light, approachable, drinkable beer. And we can make it anywhere from 4.5% to about 5.6%.
Now, do you adjust that intentionally, or is that just how it comes out occasionally?
I adjust it based on what season we think we're in. We're in a hot season, I'll try to make it lighter. If we're now approaching fall and winter, I can make it a little bit maltier and heavier.
Yeah, because I definitely want to talk a little bit about your brewing experience. And I know when I came there last year, you were obviously homebrewing at that time. Got to try some of your homebrews, really enjoyed them. And I know you had a new system coming in, if I'm correct. So I want to hear about that transition from going from your homebrew kit to the professional kit and what you had to relearn or maybe just a tweak. And then, because I remember last year even talking about how you could adjust your or that you did adjust your ABVs on some of your homebrews as well, I'm guessing for similar reasons.
Well, there's always, anytime you migrate or move onto a larger system, there's always a learning curve. Mm-hmm. And you have to adjust everything based on that. And it takes you, it does take, there's no perfect beer every time you jump onto a new system. Every time you move onto a new system, it's going to take you two or three times to figure out how that system works. But every place I've ever been over the last decade, I've managed to somehow brew and either brew in a bag or a 5-gallon system, 10-gallon system, or working with some of the larger breweries on their 10-barrel systems. You just adapt your formulas to what you're doing. And once you find, I call it the sweet spot. Once you find that sweet spot, you stick with it, and your formula is then honed in.
It's trial and error, too. It's not strict multiplication. You know, oh, this is 10 times bigger. I'll multiply all my ingredients by 10 times. It's not that simple.
So what size system are you brewing out of?
We are brewing on a 3-barrel system. We also do specialty brews on a 1/2-barrel system. And I can adapt that 1/2-barrel system to a 1-barrel system because we like to keep very small specialty batches on because we are a small town and we can do that. I think once you get onto larger systems and you lose the ability to brew on a smaller system, you lose the ability to make some amazing beers.
So when you're doing some of these more unique blends, or this is on the 1/2-barrel system then, or 1-barrel system, ones that you're talking about that you're becoming known for?
It is.
Actually, I kind of like that idea. I mean, I'm actually surprised more aren't doing that, where, you know, you have places that have the 5-10-barrel system, you know, larger systems. Why wouldn't they be doing a smaller 1-barrel or 3-barrel system? Not just casks, you know, because we hear people doing casks, but doing just a couple really limited special edition runs where you can really have some fun with it, find out if people like it before you go to a bigger recipe.
I think a big problem, and for some of the big breweries, it's not a problem for them, but once you get into distribution, it takes away the ability to make very specialty, beautiful beers. And we have absolutely no intention of getting into distribution, which is going to give us the ability to keep making very specialty, delicious beers that people come to seek.
Mm-hmm.
So you talked about returning to Minnesota. You want to open a brewery. What led to that decision? Why open a brewery?
Well, I never drank beer before I met Ford.
And that's why cider and wine are important, right?
I didn't even drink those.
Oh, okay. What'd you do to her?
So when I first met him, he took me straight to a Dogfish 60 and 90.
Oh.
And yeah, my
jump palate, on the deep side, huh?
My palate had to really adjust. And then we backed down, and or I should say I backed down and started trying other beers. So I have to say, when I got a job with the former Lucid Brewing Company, they may not remember the story, but I had just gone to the Depot's the Minnesota Brewers Guild festival. We got tickets, and it was all these big barrel-aged dark beers, coffee, roasted.
Must have been the
winter. Yes, yeah. And Winterfest. I was not that Winterfest, and I was not that kind of beer drinker. And then I saw Lucid, and I was like, "Well, what's air?" And I tried air, our blonde ale. I'm like, "Ooh, I don't like this air." But when I got a job with them, I'm like, "I better go like their beers and try them again." I was like, "What? How come I didn't like this beer?" And so my palate has gone up and down. I mean, working for a liquor store. Or artisanal imports, doing liquor store tastings. I did a lot of Belgian tastings. So then I started to change my palate into that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really when people come in and go, "I don't like dark beers." I'm like, "Oh, I used to say that same thing. Do you like chocolate? Do you like coffee?" You know, and then I'll give them something if we have it or if we have something else on tap so they can try it and expand their palate, because it really... I went from a non-beer drinker to give me the biggest, boldest barrel-aged beer you got. And as long as it doesn't taste too coffee.
Well, it's ever-evolving.
It is.
Corey and I have talked about it. I mean, I thought I enjoyed a lot of beers. But since we've done this show and get a chance to really, truly experience stuff. And actually, I think the best part is talking to a person like you, Ford, and you describing a beer that you made. And getting a chance to understand it and try it and maybe give it maybe more of a chance that I probably should have given it before but didn't. I think it really goes a long way to expanding palates and just getting people to understand that, yeah, your palate changes constantly. You know, it's not just seasonal. It's just sometimes like, I didn't used to like this, but also, no, I'm kind of digging this now. I'm kind of into this kind of style or whatever else, or at least understand it, respect it, enjoy it. So...
Well, and Ford and I were talking before we got on air. He just had a Northeast IPA before coming in today. Who would have seen that 5 years ago? Something like that, or a milkshake IPA, or mm-hmm. some of these kettle sours are seen out there. Everything having something adjusted with it that's a little more unusual.
Just the term milkshake IPA, I think I would have stayed away from it even 2 years ago, because it just sounded sweet and not fun. In all reality, it's actually just... You don't understand what it means, a little more lactose, a little more
stuff. Which you find in everything now, which, again, 5 years ago, you wouldn't have imagined.
Yep.
You had a couple specialty beers. So we got a second one in front of us now.
Well, I was going to go back to your question about why a brewery.
Mm, yes.
Correct? Because I get off on tangents. Growing up in Wabasha,
you're doing well on this show, then.
I knew that that would be an up-and-coming thing. I saw that, you know, Ford wanted to open it, and I thought, well, if you move to Wabasha, we're going to have to be self-employed. The only way to be self-employed is to do something you love or work for the big hospital companies, and we didn't want to do that. So I said, sure, let's go back, and, you know, we started looking for space for just the brewery, and, you know, being... versatile, you got to have wine and stuff. So we were looking for a spot that we could have it all, maybe a coffee shop included, and nothing really popped. And it wasn't until we had seen the bed and breakfast and thought, oh, we could bring that back to life because it had been vacant for a couple years. Then it was snatched up. That's okay. Timing wasn't there. We just kept homebrewing. People kept tasting it. People kept asking, when is it coming? When is it coming?
And I was one of those guys.
Yeah.
I apologize.
When the time was right, the bed and breakfast basically landed in our lap, and I said, now I'll go after putting all the laws on the books so that we can have it in town and build it. And that's, we just kind of built it through people loving Ford's beer.
We talked to you a little bit off air, but it it reminds me a lot of Chapel in the sense it's in a residential area. You may or may not have some backing from the local neighbors, but I don't think people understand that it's really a fun, local, just enjoyable place to go. It's a meeting place. It's, you know, getting everyone together. I talked about it just earlier, but when we were there, we walked in and we felt like we were the outsiders of like this big community get together. And yet 5 minutes later, we knew about the wedding they were going to and, you know, everyone else. And like, you know, you just heard all these extra things. And I think we even heard about what crop just came in that day that they'd been working before they went to the wedding. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that I really do enjoy. And I think that kind of stuff is awesome, especially because of where you're able to place yourself within that community. You know, humorously enough, you're next to a granary and, you know, fun space there. It's just nice to, it doesn't have to be down Main Street. It can be this space where people just pull up, kind of wander into a backyard, and it's more of like the, you're out taking a walk, you're passing by and you see a really fun party going on as you're walking by and you wish you could almost join it because it looks really fun. Well, you can.
But you can.
Yeah, you can here.
You can crash it anytime. Well,
and the thing is, it's base. It's a small business that contributes to the community. And that's something we've preached on the show for going on 2 years now, is that people forget that these are, when there's ever opposition, whether it's a surly or a small place, these are small businesses that employ people occasionally. But they're contributing tax-wise, bringing people in and making them happy with your product, which I taste in the second beer. I can see why they'd be happy if they visit you. So I'm trying to work my way into the beer because I want to talk about this thing. What do we got in front of us?
Well, for starters, I'm just going to date myself here and say our space is like Cheers.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
It's definitely, for our locals, it's where everybody knows your name.
Mm-hmm.
So you walk in and you're going to get, hey, Norm.
Yeah.
But it's also obviously attracting.
Norm or Ford?
A Ford. Or Norm. Either one. As long as you don't call me
somebody
Mud.
Somebody they call Norm.
Oh, okay.
But it's also starting to attract people from up in Minneapolis, from St. Paul, from Winona, from La Crosse, from Rochester. But to go back to the beers, this was Brenda's idea. It's called the Breast Stout Ever.
Cancer Awareness. October
that.
Is Cancer Awareness Month.
Okay.
And so it wasn't I didn't come up with a name.
You've got a lot of tongue-in-cheek names, though, right?
Yeah, we do have a lot of tongue-in-cheek names. This actually...
Anyone listening, this isn't that out of the norm.
Yeah, correct. This actually was, I think, named by Nate and Shannon.
It was.
Shout out to the kids.
Name dropping, though.
Yeah. They're in Oakdale, Minnesota, and... She loves the double mango IPA, Mango Tango, and they said something about the breast stout. And I said, oh, Cancer Awareness Month. My mom's a cancer survivor. We will make one every year, a small batch. All money proceeds will go to a fund, and we will find somebody locally that is, you know, struggling and, you know, trying to survive that big C word. And we did find somebody, and we will make their Christmas a very happy one.
Oh, pretty noble effort.
Yeah.
And well, they don't know yet?
They don't know it.
Oh.
They have 3 kids and a 4th on the way.
You should just randomly link them to the show, and that could be the way they find out.
Possibly,
you
want
to share their name?
No,
I'm just joking. No. That's all right. It'll be, I'm sure, a very special moment.
Yeah, so that's what we do. We do it for quite a few things, actually. We come up with beer names. Fishtails Amber was...
It was from one of the local fishing tournaments.
Yeah, St. Jude's. So when we do that during our St. Jude's fishing tournament, the money goes to St. Jude's.
See, that's stuff that's often overlooked too, especially on the smaller scale when you have a smaller business, that you have the luxury and the flexibility to be connected in different ways than a large business.
And it's nice because we're not in distribution, and because it is our place and we have not had investors, we have the luxury to do what we want. And it's given us the ability to give back when we want. And I think it's been much more than other places.
So tell me about the Breast Stout Ever.
Breast Stout Ever. We already make a very good chocolate milk stout. So we took the base beer and we decided, or Brenda decided, to age it on organic frozen strawberries and toasted organic coconut.
And it has come out very creamy and very smooth. And it's unfortunately almost gone, so we brought you the last.
We appreciate it. When you said I'm small batch, Mike, and it's November now, must be at the very end of it. But
we have a little bit left.
So was this the first run of this?
It's the first run of the breast stout.
So you nailed it first time out.
I think I nailed it.
Yeah. Well, I would say
I'm hoping everybody else thinks we nailed it.
Yeah, because earlier you said, you know, it takes two, three times, but I would say this is pretty good.
It doesn't work well over the air, but he poured it out, and before we had a chance to talk about it, I just took one sip, smiled big, and gave Ford a big thumbs up.
Bigly.
Yeah, it was, this is a really, this is awesome.
Yeah, well done. Well, what led you to this point? Let's talk a little about the brewing experience. You mentioned that you've brewed on a couple different systems, or probably more than a couple systems. Where did your brewing experience start, and how did you evolve to today?
Brewing experience started with Brenda. I was drinking enough craft beer that she said I might as well figure out how to brew craft beer.
In theory, cheaper, right?
In theory.
Yeah, oops.
if you don't put a cost to your time.
Exactly. Correct. So where was that place in Lake Worth? Sally's place.
Lake Worth, Florida. So we were living in South Florida, and we were looking up, and breweries were not big. Now they are. And we found this craft beer bar / home brewers hangout, and it had bars on windows. And I said, we're down here. Let's just go in. And we met Sally and Corey and just felt like family. And it was literally this small, maybe two times this office. So not very big place, but she had a huge outdoor tiki hut covered area where they did homebrew competitions. And we just started hanging out. I mean, it's a 40-45 minute drive for us to go down there and hang out and drink really good craft beer. And we bought our first beer kit there. And I think we were already planning to move home to Wabasha. And we brewed our first organic double IPA
on an electric stove,
flat top,
and we couldn't get it to boil.
I was gonna say,
so recommended
electric stove. That's gonna be make it interesting.
And we read books, because they said, you know, read some books and drink beer
about brewing, right?
Yes,
not Grapes of Wrath or something.
Correct.
Yeah, okay,
about brewing and drink beer while you attempt to brew. And 8 hours later, we're like, is this thing ever gonna? We're trying to get a hold of Sally on a Sunday. What do we do? It's not boiling. 5 gallons is, And I just said, let's just put the hops in, do what we need to do, put it in the carboy, and just, I believe in energy, and water has energy, and beer's made of water. So we put the names of what we wanted this double organic IPA to taste like on the glass of the bottle, and it turned out perfect.
Wow.
I do say so myself.
Well, so from that, we anywhere I've lived, I have always managed to figure out how to brew. At one point, I was even in a very small apartment and managed to figure out how to brew in a bag on a 2.5 gallon system. And the beers were
brew in a bag?
Paint strainer bag.
Like, did you come up with this, or is this something that other people have done?
No, actually, it's called BIAB, brew in a bag.
Okay, so otherwise you better get some patents going.
I hate to say, I don't know if I've heard this.
I have not.
It's a very...
Here's one of these tangents.
It's a fairly well-known way to brew in a very small, enclosed space. Yeah.
It's a small batch, I assume.
Small batch. Yeah, you can use a paint strainer bag. A lot of people try to sell you a $50 bag when you can go to Walmart and buy a $2 bag, and you can accomplish the same thing.
Don't use a pre-used paint bag, though, right?
Exactly.
Have it clean, new.
Exactly. Sterile. Or you might get some other type of high.
Unless it's Sherman Williams, and then you get that right flavor to it.
But. There you go. So you get the bag.
But anywhere we have ever been, we've figured out how to brew. And as we got into larger spaces and got some more freedom, obviously the systems we were on got larger and larger. And we've had the luxury and the honor and privilege of brewing with certain people at Rock Bottom through Brenda, and certain larger breweries in in Minneapolis that have allowed us to kind of perfect our craft. Hmm. So it's not, we're not just homebrewers that have decided to open a brewery.
Mm-hmm.
We were homebrewers, but we've had the opportunity and the privilege to brew with some large breweries, and on their systems, and with some master brewers that have graduated through Siebel that have helped us get to where we are.
Sounds nice. Like you're pretty versatile though, going from a 2.5 gallon bag to a 10 barrel system, to a 5 barrel system, to a half barrel. I mean, you've kind of put in the work to learn all different approaches.
If you want to do it, you'll figure it out.
Right.
You'll figure it out. And if you really love what you're doing and you like seeing people's faces when they taste something, and it still gives you, I mean, sometimes it still gives me goosebumps when I see people's faces. You know you're doing what you want to do.
So if you had a 6-car garage with higher ceilings, would you still be doing a 3-barrel system, do you think? Is that what you like, or is that just you're limited by space a little bit?
There's both. I like being on a system that allows me to create something that still makes people look at you and just smile.
Mm-hmm.
At the like, same,
how the hell did you do this on this?
Exactly. Kind of thing? Yeah. We've had people come down from the cities over the past 2 to 3 weeks, noticeably over the past 2 to 3 weeks, that have said, "How did you do this?"
Mm-hmm.
We've been to some of these other places, and how did you do this?
Well, I will say, when I came in, I don't know what I was expecting. I'm expecting just a backyard, you know, somebody who's brewing at home. I heard about the really big beers that you guys had on tap and stuff, but I'm like, all right, whatever. Now we'll come in.
Which lets you know they have good taste, at least.
Right. But that being said, I walked in and, you know, being my first time in, I was kind of expecting, okay, I'll just have a couple. I fell in love with the first beer I had. And I just loved it. And I sat there, and then at the same time, like I talked about, the crowd just came in, and I loved the ambiance and the experience. And it was just like, it was a really good beer, and it was just packed, and it was busy, and it was fun, and I was enjoying the beer. And it was like, yeah, you nailed it. I mean, you literally got what I want. I want to go to a place that everyone wants to be there. You know, everyone knows your name. It was a good beer. It was a great space. I kind of wanted to just find out if you had a room that night, because it was like, we're just having a great time. And all of a sudden going, oh, I got to turn around, drive an hour and a half, hour and 15 home, or whatever it may be. You know, like going, I want to sit around and have a couple more of these. This is enjoyable. So,
well, I have to tell you, we got a review that I always love when they start off with. We admittedly were mildly concerned when we pulled up to Turning Waters Bed and Breakfast and wondered aloud, is it in the garage? And then near the end with 5 stars, you must stop here. The beer was amazing.
Well, I will
love those reviews.
I mean, I think it's a great beer, too.
I wasn't sure where it was. I walk up to the house, actually, originally, and I'm looking like, it doesn't look like it's here. I opened the door, and the sign had fallen down. Mm. So I re-hung it back up on the door and then went around. And I went around the side back in. I mean, it is literally one of those things where it's kind of, you got to know it's there, you know, maybe not Diagon Alley or whatever.
Diagon Alley?
Yeah, there we go.
You're bringing in the Harry Potter. I'm trying.
Well, I was going to like do one of your references, but you know, like.
It's not that real obscure.
Ford loves Harry Potter.
Yeah. Well, I know, but I.
Mine are usually random 70s and 80s references before my time.
Yeah.
Well. So he'll give me grief about it. And you try to flip the switch and go with Harry Potter, which is like the most well known entity.
I know, well, I was trying
property
to,
in the world.
Hey, once in a while I could throw a pop culture reference down there, but.
Well, I was going to say, I think the look on the brewery and those reviews, I think, is indicative of the brewing industry as a whole, where we judge everything initially without ever experiencing it. So beer, I think, is a great example for it. I think you're talking about black IPAs. That's a great example. People don't know what to expect. Like, oh, I don't like dark beer. What does that even mean? Try the beer. You don't know it. So when they go, I don't like the back alley brewery because it's in the back alley. Well, go in. Experience the product, the people, the space. So I think the brewing industry is all about shattering expectations.
And a lot of that, It goes back to something that was brought up earlier, and that was about the milkshake IPAs.
Mm.
And I go back to that simply because a lot of people don't like, they come in and they say, I don't like IPAs, I don't drink IPAs. Try this.
Mm-hmm.
And we will give them a sample without telling them what it is, and they want a pint.
Yep.
Like, what is this?
But it doesn't come in a pint.
Doesn't come in a pint because it's a double milkshake IPA.
It's a big boy.
So it is about changing people's expectations. It's about brewing something that nobody has ever had, and when you see, again, it goes back to me when I see the look on their face and they haven't expected what I've given them and they love it. That's what makes me happy.
Two thoughts I don't want to lose quickly. So we were talking about the three barrel system, and then you have the half barrel that can adapt to a one barrel. I think often overlooked for smaller brewers is that you're afforded those opportunities to make those special beers because you're not held to, like, I make 10 barrels, will this sell? Obviously, you guys don't have the space that bigger breweries have, but it sounds like you're pretty busy, so I'm guessing you go through beer pretty well. That's something that's cool because it allows you to have fun and experiment a lot more than I'm guessing maybe a 10-barrel brewery gets to do.
Well, again, I think it goes back to distribution. And we don't have any intention of distributing because of our size. Mm-hmm. But it goes to your point that we get to make specialty beers. But we also like to have, a lot of places will only have 4 to 5 beers on draft. We try to have 8 to 10 beers on draft, even at our size. So we've had a lot of people walk in and they look at our board and they're just blown away by the variety that we have. For the last 2 weeks, we've had 4 pumpkin beers.
Oh, Jesus.
And so you guys now have,
which is good.
You now have the fluffed pumpkin.
The fluffy pumpkin.
I'm sorry, I'm just stuck on 4 pumpkin beers because for the last 2 months, I have an affinity for pumpkin beers. And in years past, I've fallen into the trap of getting them when they get released in August. So I tried to hold
on to this.
Finish
this one to have the pumpkin beer.
So this is the anti-pumpkin guy.
This is an ongoing dispute about pumpkin beers.
So I was really, outside of buying some New Belgium pumpkin beers, I had the Atomic one this year, and then I had always Warlock and Southern Tier ones.
Oh, yes.
But I don't feel like I got my fill of pumpkin beers this year, so A, thank you. B, I'm going to have to come visit. Are they going to be on much longer, or have they worked through all 4 of your pumpkin
beers? I love pumpkin. Anything pumpkin year-round.
You're my spirit animal.
We will... have more pumpkin beers. My brother grew a bunch of sugar pumpkins.
Oh my! Well, Wabash, you have your
field trip,
whatever fest,
Septoberfest.
Septoberfest. I mean, you guys have massive pumpkins downtown carved. Mm-hmm. I mean, actually, I'm really impressed with that beautiful space that everyone does downtown, whether it be the big pumpkins or all the extra stuff. I mean, most places do a one weekend kind of a thing. Wabash, I really,
7 weeks
really,
this
yeah,
year.
I know it's. Who did we talk to previously about Wabasha? Lake City. Or no, south of Lake City.
Island City?
Nope.
Down Winona? Joe Pond?
Evaldi? No. Eagle Watch.
Reed's Landing.
Yeah. No, we were talking to Reed's Landing, and they were talking about the fact that, you know, Wabasha has Septoberfest and everything else. And so last year, my wife and I just happened to be down in Wabasha. Not happened to be, but we're traveling around and stuff. Coming to town, and out of nowhere, there's a polka band just playing on Main Street right in front of the little Irish pub. And, you know, so, of course, there's a polka band. You stop, and we end up having dinner and drinking beers and everything else. Wabasha is really just kind of a fun space for that kind of thing. But the pumpkins, there's large, massive pumpkins. Just it's really fun how they incorporate not just a Halloween thing, but they took fall, kind of made it big and interesting. So makes sense that you would embrace pumpkin.
And that's only one of like 14 festivals the city has, right?
Don't you guys have a few. Grumpy Old Men Festival, yeah. I think, is the next up and coming. Okay. Always the last weekend of February. That's huge.
And I say that with adoration.
We will be busy.
Yeah.
So
the one other thought I want to hit on before we go, I just jotted down a note when you were talking about your experience in Southern Florida, Sally. You said Sally on a Sunday. I think that's a beer name for something coming up.
I think that's a great idea.
Sally on a Sunday.
Sally has actually moved to Mexico.
Okay.
And we see her riding around on a horse all the time.
There you go.
And she looks amazing and happy, and we owe her a lot. Yeah, Sally on a Sunday.
Start with the beer name, and then you'll work up from there.
She's actually been very proud of us.
Yes. We're like her children.
Speaking of proud.
I'm trying to figure out if I have to mute Corey before I say this.
Uh-oh.
I really do like this beer. I like the spiciness to this. I I've been so anti-pumpkin, and I really am thinking about muting Corey right now because he's going to give me so much crap for this, nope, but I really do like this beer.
Escarin.
Yeah.
So that's real pumpkin, so it's not pumpkin spice. I know the difference.
But I'm loving the spice, the nutmeg or whatever it is.
That's
just straight pumpkin?
That's pumpkin that was roasted in the oven for 2 to 3 hours with the right spices. And then there's some marshmallow fluff floating in the keg.
It's called drawing the flavor out.
Not a whole lot of spices. I like the real pumpkin to come out.
And it's got that sweetness at the end.
Yes.
So it gives you like a real pumpkin pie.
Yes, I would have that.
So our flight of pumpkin beers was just the pumpkin ale, the pump coconut, toasted coconut with pumpkin.
Always.
The fluffy pumpkin and the graham cracker pumpkin.
Oh, my God.
Goes back to the palate thing.
You're learning. That's the point here, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
That's the beauty of small scale.
Mm-hmm.
Five gallons or 10 gallons or 20 gallons, we can control, but we use the real ingredients. That's the beauty of small scale. So we love the fact that when the people that know us will see it. I'll post it up on Facebook. I try to get it up on our website. And they'll go, oh my gosh, we have to get there because when it's gone, it's gone.
And so, I think in Ira's defense, the spiciness, I think, is that roast that hits you immediately and then kind of tapers off and that sweetness replaces it. So I think it's easy to just distill it down to spicier.
No, I really like it.
Well, very good. We very much appreciate you guys. It was a real pleasure and definitely enjoyed these very small beers you make for it.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you having us on.
I appreciate it. Life doesn't start until after 10%.
Well, then it sounds like you got some work to do because you only had one that was at 10, right?
They're all at our house.
Okay. Well, that's an invite, it sounds like. Thanks much.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Hey, it's Andrew Burns, and for this style of the week, we are talking hybrids. That's right, it's time for a labradoodle of beers. In this case, the Labrador being a Belgian wit and the doodle being an IPA. That's right, it's white IPA. And just like the name suggests, it is a mixture of those two beer styles. We've talked about Belgian wit beer or white ale, and that's the beer using Belgian ale yeast and raw wheat. And really, if you pair that with a ton of American citrusy hops, you end up with a white IPA. This is an example of that American craft beer ingenuity where we take inspiration from British and European styles of beer and mash them together and see what sticks. And in this case, this has been a pretty popular one, especially for those breweries that like to focus on Belgian and yeast-driven flavors, but still want something hoppy to satisfy that hop itch. Sometimes you might see a Belgian IPA, which is a related style that uses that same Belgian yeast, but usually leaves out the raw wheat. So really, when we're talking about white IPA, we're talking about Belgian yeast, American hops, and unmalted wheat.
That's going to put a wrap on the show. Thanks to Ford and Brenda for stopping in Northfield, chatting about Turning Waters Back Alley Brewing Company. Definitely a place to visit in Wabasha, Minnesota. Just a short hour drive. Ira, I think we already made a couple plans to go visit there at least 3 or 4 times here in the next 6 or 7 days.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of fun things to talk about and a lot of fun beers to enjoy. And, you know, a bed and breakfast right on the premise makes it not a bad destination if you want to stop and really take some time to enjoy all of Ford's creations.
It's almost like a dream blend of a vacation and staycation because it's not really that far.
Nope.
So you're not really like leaving home, but you're not really like making an adventure, like a big adventure, like halfway across the country. So you could take a couple nights and go there for a weekend. I think we're going to do that.
Yeah. Well, and then downtown, you know, Wabasha has, you know, some fun different shops and everything else. Of course, the Eagle Center, you're not that far outside of Winona, you know, mm-hmm. or even, you know, head back north just briefly if you need a small break and, you know, pick up a beer at Reed's Landing, you know, or even use it as a, you know, night spot, but maybe go spend the day down La Crosse. You know, there's some options there. So
yeah, none of that interests me. I'm just going to stay at Turning Waters the entire time. I'll be in the house during the day. As soon as the pub opens up, I'm going out for a beer and I'll be there till closing time.
Yep.
Because as we found out, in today's show. Ford is, what'd you call him, a little mad scientist, mad chemist?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, he gets a little creative with his beers, and it's kind of fun.
It was a great arrangement of beers, so thank you, Ford and Brenda, for bringing those. Had a really good time. I'm sure we'll see you soon. We will be back in 2 weeks, 11 a.m. here on KYMN Radio. It's going to be November 24th. That's right, Saturday after Thanksgiving. We don't quit on you. We'll be here every other Saturday like we promised that we will. So we'll be back in 2 weeks. We've got Badger Hill Brewing Company. I've been working on getting them on the show for a little bit. Happy to finally have them on the show. We're going to pay them a visit here shortly and bring that to you on the 24th. So if you listen on live on KYMN Radio, you know where to find us, 11 a.m. right here. Otherwise, find us on podcast channels like iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, Google Play, wherever you find your preferred podcast. I'm sure we're at the top of that list, so we appreciate the support. You can also find our show and prior shows, all our prior shows, on ontapnorthfield.com. We're 46 strong, I believe, now, so that's kind of cool. We're inching toward 50. We let the cat out of the bag last show. We're heading to Duluth. We're going to hit show number 50 up there. Then right after that, we're anniversary number 2. We made it. Although we're not quite there, so maybe I shouldn't celebrate prematurely. We're almost there.
Yeah, but it looks like we got enough guests lined up and everything else to finally hit that mark, which is probably something that even those people that listened to the early couple shows kind of went, could they get even more than a year out of mm-hmm. this? But yeah, we're finding we're adding new guests all the time, and there's still plenty to talk about. Obviously, as you heard earlier, with our, you know, of course, beers of the week, you know, style of the week, and all the samples that we get provided. There's plenty to talk about in the beer world.
We are proving the doubters wrong. And as we saw today, we've got great relationships throughout the state, throughout southern Minnesota. Obviously, we can go from smaller venues like Turning Waters to having great beers from places like Waconee or Summit or Bald Man. So it's nice that people are welcoming us into their community. We get to highlight what's going on in all these great places. And 2 years strong, we're not quite there, so let's not get ahead of ourselves. But as I plan out, obviously, into later in the winter, into the spring, I see those milestones there. I'm like, well, that's cool. We've been at it. We've been putting a lot of work into this, having fun. And I think that's the biggest takeaway is if we're not having fun, we wouldn't be doing this. So thanks to all those folks who have supported us, who have given us their time. I know we're having a hell of a time doing this.
Of course, Kim Radio for giving us a platform too.
All those people too. No, of course, KYMN with Jeff and Terry, but love being on 95.1 here, local radio. That's a nice feather in the cap,
yep,
as they say. So thanks to everyone, I guess. I mean, I guess this is the appropriate time. We're heading into the giving season, the thankful season, showing gratitude. So there's our gratitude. Thank you, everyone. We appreciate it. Social media, we appreciate if you would give us some of that love back. Follow us, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Search for On Tap Northfield. We're updating our trips and tribulations that we're experiencing. Mostly good things on there. We don't really ever run into any issues, I guess. But photos and videos and just updates of what we're doing, what we're trying, samples that get sent to us, kind of preview, hey, we're going to talk about this on the upcoming show. So we have a lot of fun there. And then Facebook is a good place to see who we will have on the show in the coming weeks, coming months, really, because I'm starting now to build that out because we've got the big Duluth trip coming up and already eyeing later February, March to see who we're going to have on the show. So having lots of fun. Let's keep rocking into December, my favorite time of year, and we'll see you in 2 weeks. Cheers.
Cheers.